Welcome everybody tonight to our session, our space tonight. We are calling this Lover's Week in preparation for Valentine's Day. That's just 2 weeks away. And talk about creating the relationship that you desire. I was actually around about 10 teenage guys in the last couple weeks. And I asked them a question. And these guys are getting all between the ages of 15 to 18. And I asked them, when you guys think about marriage and sex, what are the ideas that come to mind? What kind of expectations? What are you looking forward to and so forth? And the answer that some of them gave me was very concerning. It was actually kind of sad. I had one guy say, oh, man, when I think about that, you know, my parents, it seems like it's like a torture chamber when I think about marriage and sex. You know, when these are young guys, you know, strong sex drive, and they're thinking about marriage and sex. It's like a torture chamber. Some other people, like, I know you don't do it very much once you get married. And then other people, man, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the pleasure, you know, the partnership with kids. So it was diverse, a lot of variety in answers. But these people, you know, these young boys, they are having these answers based off what they see in relationships. And again, some of them, they saw their parents as lovers, lifelong lovers. And then some of them saw their parents as partners, kind of roommates. And just me as a youth leader, it's sad because I don't want them to, you know, despise getting married or not look forward to getting married. And so we want to explore just some ideas here of what you can do in your relationships to keep that marriage relationship humming. Or if you're single, hopefully we can deposit some ideas in you to start helping you with the principles in your life, the habits in your life when it comes to some expectations. So what we're going to do, I'm going to ask a couple questions to the panel here, and then we're going to open up for questions for all of you at the very end. So if you got any follow-up questions or comments at the end, we'll be able to get to you. And so first question here, Dovid, I'm going to start with you. What is one speed bump you have seen that hinders couples from having a thriving relationship?
Well, there's so many possible ways to derail a relationship. You know, as I like to say that, you know, the person that you connect with on such a deep level, especially internally, wants to unify with you. They want to become one with you. And there's so many aspects of differences. You know, not only are, in most cases, are we different gender, right? You're talking a man and a woman. That's one challenge. But obviously, we have different personalities. We have different backgrounds. We have different cultures. Oftentimes, sometimes different language that we speak. Our whole worldview, family structures, our whole worldview is so different. So what I find interesting is, you know, how do two people actually come together? Like, to me, that almost seems like the bigger miracle, that two people, which are so strange and so different, can actually get along. And and yet we can. God created us in such a way that our hearts connect and we figure out ways to make it work. And that itself deserves a lot of kudos and praise for those who struggle and work hard to make their relationship successful. So to answer your question specifically, you know, one of the things that I see quite often is that a speed bump that people run into is that they'll take one of the differences that they notice about each other, or they'll take, let's just say, a disagreement or an altercation, or maybe a character difference, or even a value difference, or let's just say a fight that they've had, or a disappointment or a hurt, and they'll use that to define their relationship. Right. So all of a sudden he becomes the guy who yelled at me at some point, or she becomes the woman who didn't, you know, attend to my needs in the way that I feel like I do need. You know, that becomes the definition of who she is, or the definition of who he is. He shows up late sometimes. That becomes how she perceives him. And one of the things that I like to do with the couples that I work with is expand their perception of their partner such that we leave space for things that aren't working, things that are differences that need to be ironed out, but we let go of that disappointment as the sum total of our relationship. And instead, we focus on all the things that are working, all the miraculous ways that we do come together, all the incredible fun times that we have, and his sense of humor, and the way she, and how pretty she is, and how what a great mother she is, and how responsible he is. And that's like a huge thing, you know, just helping people let go of this tight grip that they hold on to of the things that aren't working. You know, and that I find, you know, people come to me and they have this long list of things that what they're upset with, you know, and the first part of my workshop with couples is, okay, I listen to all of it, give them plenty of space to say whatever they need, I empathize. But what I'm really interested in is allowing them to give me that long list of things that are working. And that alone, just that one thing alone, is so therapeutic and so connecting that that if couples could, myself included, if we could just learn to acknowledge what isn't working, because I'm not somebody who likes to shove things under the rug, but recognize that this is just a small part of who we are as a couple. So that's my answer.
Wow, that is powerful. You had so many gold nuggets in there. At the very beginning there about people coming together, how much of a miracle that is. People that are so different, but they have a desire to come together. The other thing you're talking about, focusing on the things that are great about that person. I just think about the country that I live in, the United States. And as an American, people always focus on all the problems, all the division, which, like, there are so many great things in this country. In the same way with our spouse. Amazing. What if we did just focus on all the positive? I mean, our relationship would be so enriching. It would be so wonderful, just like a wellspring flowing up with fresh water. So, David, thank you so much for sharing that. Leela, now coming to you. What is one, let me ask you the same question. What is one speed bump you have seen that hinders couples from having a thriving relationship?
Yeah. So where my mind always goes, it's just, it seems to always be at the top of the list for at least myself and my clients, is losing yourself. Like, you know, I don't necessarily advocate for, you know, strong and independent, and we don't need our partner or anything like that. But I also don't, you know, we can all like probably think of a codependent couple. And if you've ever seen that dynamic in play, I can, you know, my parents come to mind. It's when we do a lot of anticipating, you know, quote unquote, what you want me to do via assumptions instead of actual conversations, like thinking, oh, well, you wanted me to go get, you know, some milk and butter and bread or whatever at the store, and so I did that, you know, and I missed this thing that I wanted to do, and the spouse is like, what? I never asked you to do that. What are you talking about? I didn't want you to miss this thing. I didn't even know you had this thing that you wanted to do. And so what happens is, you know, maybe it's especially true of women, but I see it with men too, is just failing to represent your own perspective. And it's not even so much like, you know, we're focusing on what our partner wants, because that would kind of seem like that might be good for the relationship, focusing on what is, you know, would make your partner happy. But it's like when we're thinking of their expectations on us and trying to fulfill that, or just getting anxious about not fulfilling that, you know, I do it. Definitely. It's like, oh, am I doing everything my husband, you know, wants me to get done today? And then that means I really won't, because I'm just, you know, working myself up over it. So, you know, we fail to bring our own wants and needs to the table sometime, and voicing our feelings. You know, your partner, your spouse wants to be in a relationship with you, not with, you know, this like kind of gauzy, you know, flimsy version of you that just kind of tells them what they think and feel. They want to know what you want and think and feel. And so I don't know if that's making sense or if it sounds kind of basic, but that's what it seems like, a huge speed bump to me, seeing couples in action. Is like, we've got those, they fell in love with you for a reason, and you were a whole person, or you know, mostly a whole person when you met each other. And a lot of times, as part of a pair, then we start to lose that. So that would be my answer.
Well, just image that came to my mind as you're sharing this, I just think about us and our partners. We're both like pitchers, okay, like pitchers of water, and we are designed to pour into somebody. But if we're always pouring in and not being poured in, we're going to dry out. So we need to make sure that we are also sharing our needs, our desires, so forth, so that our spouse can pour into us, help us, nourish us. If not, again, you're going to dry up. And then once you dry up, again, burnout happens, attitudes, irritations come forth. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
Can I just comment on that, Heath?
Do it.
Yeah. Leela, I just wanted to say that I love that response. You know, I felt that was like a really insightful and practical you know, way of identifying a problem that I think I agree with you is very, very common. There's a phrase that's used in psychology called enmeshment. And probably a lot of people have heard that. And it's basically this idea that, you know, when we are, especially in the beginning part of a relationship, when we do have all these tremendous feelings for each other, our desire to unify is so great that we kind of fold our personalities into the personality of the person that we're trying to connect with. You know, all of a sudden what they like is what I like, and then their favorite color becomes my favorite color. And then whatever they're having on the menu is what I have on the menu. And then whatever they want to do is, you know, fine with me, and we'll just do what you want to do. And I think that women in particular are very susceptible to this.
Yeah.
And, I love that you're working with women and you're kind of, you know, bringing this to their attention. Certainly you've been around the block a little bit and you've had relationships where maybe you've also done this, you know, and I know that some of the people you follow and your mentors also talk a lot about this. But it's really, really important that we embrace our own personalities, because like you said, it's so true. You know, your partner doesn't really only want you to please them. They want to be inspired by you. They want to be influenced by you. They want to follow your coattails. They don't want you to serve them, please them, do for them. I mean, all that's nice, and I'm certainly not taking that away, but you know, they're in love, like you said, they're in love with the man that they saw and that they respect and that has a mission and goals, and they don't want him to fold into a pussycat and just, you know, take care of her needs all day, and vice versa. You know, I know for me that my wife has so many virtues and so much strength and power, and she has so many interests, and it's just so lovely to see her pursue those, and I benefit from that as well. So yeah, I didn't mean to go on and on and on, but I was just really taken with what you said. I thought that was fantastic.
Oh, glad to hear it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dova. It's always profound to hear you talk as you dissect what people are sharing. I want to go and answer this too. What's the speed bump that I've seen that hinders couples from having this thriving relationship? For me, the main one, and I'm primarily speaking from a guy's perspective, is that just like in college, you know, people, when they're in college, they're studying, working on papers, study groups, again, they're rehashing, they want to do well, they want to get an A, so they spend all this time. And then once they graduate from college, oftentimes people are like, oh, good, I'm done. Which in their perspective, I'm done studying, right? I've gotten my degree. And I think that same thing happens when people get married, is they stop studying each other. And because they stop studying each other, oftentimes for a guy, they put that same effort then into a career, trying to make money. I mean, even the spaces that I've been on and watched here over the last several weeks, last 7 months, as far as guys, whenever there's a space about money, increasing money, crypto, it just fills up. But when I've been on spaces where it talks about a relationship, it just doesn't increase as much. And I think it's because guys feel naturally, I've already conquered my wife. I already have her. I already have her heart. And so for people that stop studying their spouse, you can get caught up into coasting. The image that I always share with people, if you put two boats on an ocean, they are naturally going to go apart. The waves, the current is going to pull them apart. And once you get married, the things of life are slowly going to pull you apart. Career, health struggles, even children, in-laws, it's slowly going to pull you apart. So you've been given a paddle to continue to pull towards each other, to continue to grow with each other. And so I just want to encourage all of you that when you have been married, whether it's 5, 10, 15 years, I mean, I love what Dovid says for women that say, my husband has changed. You know, he's like, that man is dead. That man is dead. He's evolving. He is growing. And the same thing for us guys. That woman that you married, she's no longer around. She has changed so much. So we have to keep studying. We have to keep asking the questions. We have to keep being around them. When we see them have a desire for something, we need to figure out how we can encourage them, how we can build them up. So one thing that I did with my wife is I told her, go and write me a letter. Go and write me a letter of all the things that I have failed in. Pretty much how I am not being the man that you need. And so she wrote me a letter. I told her to be brutally honest with me. And so she wrote this letter. And, it was, you know, at first she said, you're doing a great job here, here, and here. But then that letter, she wrote out the stuff that I needed improving, that she felt like I needed to either lead better, I needed to respond better, I needed to lead the family. And what I did with that letter is I went and laminated that letter, and I had that letter in my top drawer. And I just pulled that out once in a while and realized this is what she wants me to do. This is how she wants me to lead. She encouraged me, so forth. But I want to encourage all of you, if you've not been studying your spouse recently, go ahead and start doing that. Because, again, you naturally get drawn to other things because of things life come up. So I don't know if you guys got any feedback on that, Leela or Dovid.
Wow, you're very brave. That's amazing.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to hear what my wife has to say about me. No way I'm letting that happen.
Oh, I love it. It's wonderful. All right, Leela, next question. I'm going to come to you first. What is one habit you have seen lovers do that continues to take them into an atmosphere of continual love for one another?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll continue on my theme of sort of back to basics. And, you know, the masters are the ones that always revisit the basics, right? Like the athletes, they're always going back to, you know, what did they need to master originally and, you know, take all the fancy stuff out of it. And so in that vein, you know, put the phones down and, you know, like he says, study your partner. But maybe more along the lines of kind of what women can do. You know, I think it applies to both, but, you know, we can't really force our partner to connect. So, you know, sometimes I think when we hear relationship advice, it's like, you guys need to have a date night every week, or you guys need to do this, or you guys need to do that. And it can be tempting to like come to our partner and be like, you know, this is what we need to do. But, you know, sometimes it's a matter of just being available for, you know, what they're ready to do to connect, you know. And, you know, when you really see your partner, you can laugh at his jokes, you can see that sparkle in his eyes and how he's looking at you, catch him, you know, looking at you and giggle and feel flattered and just really be in the present moment. And, you know, even if he's not ready to take that 5 love languages quiz or like read that book together or go to that, you know, weekend or whatever it is, if you're putting your phone down and you're actually just focusing on what you need to do to be present with your spouse, then, you know, I feel like that's showing up, especially for women, to follow his lead. You know, a lot of times as women, I was just saying, like, women, you know, we feel like we have the PhDs in relationships and we're gonna teach our husband like what he needs to do to be a great husband and everything. And, you know, if we want to have a great leader as a husband, then we're going to need to sometimes, you know, calm that down a little bit and really be there to see what how he wants to connect in the moment.
Oh, again, love. I just want to come in on one comment, one thought there. You just shared about if you want to have a good leader, I just want to encourage you ladies to be a great follower. Right,
exactly.
Yeah, when my wife, when I feel the support, when I feel her wanting to follow me, I mean, it makes me want to do well. It makes me want to be courageous. Yes. She literally is giving me like steroids to do everything I can to lead the family better and provide more. All right. David, I want to come to you now. I want you to answer that same question. What's one habit you've seen lovers do that continues to take them into an atmosphere of continual love for one another?
Uh-huh. Yeah, this one's a good one. There's so many different, you know, possible answers to that question. You know, one of them that I thought that I found to be very helpful with couples, and that usually it's a good sign when I'm working with them and I see this trait that they exhibit, is the ability to reconcile. That is a whole skill, and it's something that can be learned, of course. But a couple's ability to reconcile after an altercation, after a fight, is huge in enabling them to weather the storms of life. You know, there's the number of challenges is as many as the number of days. I mean, and as some of the older couples on here may know, you know, the seasons of life themselves present a whole plethora of challenges that have nothing to do with your relationship, whether it's child raising or whether it's, you know, financial issues or health issues, heaven forbid, or social political issues. You know, who would have thought COVID and the changes that had nothing to do with your family or your, you know, your relationship or anything like that, but yet it completely affects everything. You know, so life has so many challenges, and our ability to come back together again and to reconcile, that's huge in being a great habit to keep the relationship going and connecting. And I just wanted to point out that there's three facets that I found to be most useful in reconciliation. And the first one is patience. Patience is huge, because when we have patience for our spouse, we tend not to get in a fight in the first place. How many fights do we end up getting in because we've lost our patience, or we've decided to say something before it was required to say it, right? Because we want to make sure that they know how we feel, or we want to make sure that they're doing it right, or whatever. Most of the times, for most things, if you let it go, it won't even end up being something on your radar at all in a year from now, or even a month from now. The second aspect of reconciliation that's really, really important is forgiveness, right? We need to learn how to make space in our perception of our partner and in our heart to recognize that they're a human being just like I am, and they're flawed just like I am. And that flaw is to be accepted and forgivable. And so learning how to forgive, and that, of course, especially for women, this is hard, but learning how to let go and move on from something negative that happened is huge. And the final aspect to reconciliation, which I think is really important, is called reconnection, right? Because sometimes even when we have patience or we're forgiving, we don't fully reconnect. So we don't fully reconnect emotionally. Maybe we put up some walls that are now between us. Or we don't reconnect physically, which means maybe we're not touching each other as much, or, you know, we withhold some affection. And so all of this builds up over time. You know, I remember that I was working with this one, I hope nobody minds that I go off on these stories, but I was working with this one couple, and she had been, you know, she was trying to get her husband's attention for a long time, for like a year, you know, and he would come home, he'd be watching TV or playing a video game or watching a sports game. And she had, she'd always cozy up to him on the couch when he would come home after he would sit down. And one day she did that, and he gave her this really nasty look, like, you know, leave me alone. And they had come to me a year later. And one of his biggest complaints to me is that his wife no longer touches him, cozies up to him, sits with him, shares time with him. And it's like, I didn't understand what was going on. And it finally, after some therapy, it figured out that this is what had happened. And so that's an example of you know, inability to reconcile. It came between them, and it was unable to allow them to move forward. So this is a really important skill that we really need to focus on, how to come back fully from, you know, sometimes the difficulties of our relationship.
Well, I just want to recap those patience, forgiveness, reconnection. I mean, that right there, for those of you listening, you could just spend half an hour to think about that with your own spouse. Are you walking in patience, forgiveness, reconnection? Powerful, powerful. Thank you, David.
Sure.
For me, what is the one habit you've seen lovers do that continue to take them to an atmosphere of continual love for one another? Man, for me, it's having a heart of gratefulness and gratitude, thankfulness for your spouse. I just want you to think about the last time that you just told your spouse how thankful you are for them when they did absolutely nothing for you. Maybe you came home from work. Maybe they came home from work. They came inside. You might see them being a little fatigued, a little tired. Maybe you saw them just doing whatever, and you just went up to them and said, I just want to let you know, I am so thankful that you said yes to me 7 years ago. I am just so proud of the husband you are, the father you are. I try to do this every day with my wife. My wife homeschools my children, so it's very easy for me to be thankful. But she does it wonderful. And so I literally try to just boost her up. And when my wife puts a spotlight upon me, I just, again, I want to fly. And so for me, people that walk in thankfulness, you also honor the person, but you usually get what you want. When you refresh others, you yourself will be refreshed. And so if you've not been receiving the appreciation in your own life, I want to encourage you to do that with your spouse. And here's the thing. Sometimes I build up my spouse and she doesn't say anything. Sometimes she builds me up, and because I'm so selfish, I'm so thankful that she built me up, I forget to build her up. And so we try to walk in that grace with each other. But I would encourage you to do that, to walk in that thankfulness. And every day, find something small, something big in your spouse's life that you're thankful for. I don't know if you guys got any feedback about that. If not, I'll go to the last question.
I think that's, you know, gratitude is just the, you know, it's the grease that allows the wheels of your relationship to run smoothly. So I think you hit the nail on the head on that one. That's perfect.
Yeah. All right, this is the final question, and then after we ask that question, we're going to open up to you guys that are listening. If you have a question or if you have a comment, some of the stuff we've talked about, or anything else you'd like to bring up. Dovid, I'm going to come to you first here for this final question. Dovid, what do ladies need to understand about men in 2022?
That's a great question. How about we'll start with everything. I think that the, you know, for me, when it's, for some of the women that I work with, one of the plagues of our society today is that there's so much distrust and fear. Hi, SJ. I'm glad to see you here. there's so much distrust and fear between the sexes, you know, and it's hard to overcome just because you fall in love with somebody or just because you meet somebody who you think is fantastic. It's always going to be somewhere in your mind that some of the stories that you've heard, maybe you have a relative who's had a bad experience, right? Those always stick out, right? The negative experiences that maybe you had a family member or something or a friend, those always stick out. So there's so much distrust between the genders, as well as the institutions, the older institutions of marriage, of long-term relationships, of commitment. There's distrust, right? And there's fear. There's just so much fear. How is this going to work against me? If I open up my heart, make myself vulnerable, how am I going to hurt? If I give over all my finances and da 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 da. In any case. So in my opinion, one of the things that to me, I find a beneficial message for women is that for the vast majority of men that they meet, these are men who want to take care of them, that want to please them, and that want to love them and be loved by them. And, you know, when we absorb that message and when we lean into that as the status quo, which is not the message of the media and not the message of plenty of places on YouTube and Twitter, but if we lean into that, that there's a reason why he's standing before you, and there's a reason why he's asking you to marry him, or there's a reason why he's, you know, taking care of you, and that's because he wants to, and he actually does love you, and he actually wants to please you, right? And he actually sees value in you and worth, right? So when we absorb that and when we kind of take that into it, make that our frame, the success of our relationships just increase tremendously, because he's going to feel that higher quality of connection that you now are open to and that you're creating with him. And this is what, you know, establishes that closeness and that bond and that trust that's between you. You know, if we're always putting up walls and if we're always suspicious and we're always thinking negative, you know, which is unfortunately, especially if a person's had many experiences that haven't worked out, it's really tough. It's really tough. But people go into relationships for love, commitment, romance, you know, connection. That's why they're there. And, you know, take advantage of it, enjoy it, you know, lean into it, build it, grow with it, you know, trust it. You know, and I think that'll serve you well if that's how you approach the relationships that you have.
Well, perfect picture, beautiful picture you just painted there, that even the distrust that's happening currently in culture or in previous relationships, most men that I know, same thing, they have a heart to love their wife, to love their woman, and they want to serve, honor. They don't always know how to do it, but they want to completely. So thank you so much. Leela, going to come to you. Question, what do guys need to understand about women in 2022?
Yeah. So much good stuff. Yeah, I totally agree with what David said. And I guess I'm not 100% sure that men understand how women are affected by cultural messages. So, I mean, it's so true what you said, that women need to know that their men do want to take care of them and you know, do all the things that they're, you know, providing and protecting. Like, I think women can be suspicious, and, you know, I don't know if men really understand, you know, I think, like, especially in, like, red pill circles, it appears that the feminist messaging is all just like girl power and women can do anything, and like that doesn't affect women negatively the way it does affect men. So, you know, I guess I just want them to understand that not only are we hearing the same things you're hearing, but we're, because of our nature as just like warriors and just, you know, kind of don't know if it's okay to sort of take time for ourselves and things like that, that, you know, we would love to be reminded that we are your queen and you are our king. And so, you know, you may be completely tapped into your masculine and just immune to all of those messaging, and I hope, you know, that would be awesome, but just because you are doesn't mean that she always has access to her best flowy feminine self the way she might want to. And so if you can remind us that it's okay to sort of be a little quote unquote high maintenance and, you know, buy that fancy lingerie or perfume or have, you know, extra time for self-care, you know, start the car for us in the morning or fill it up with gas, you know, take her hand and lead her in a slow dance, like remind her that it's okay to be, you know, not strong all the time, not, you know, tough and hard and, you know, girl bossing. and it's really hard for us to be direct. I know that's hard to believe, but you know, that's why we need you to lead. And so as guys, you know, you're all tough and strong, and it's like, why can't she just tell me what she wants or what she needs? And you know, that's sometimes we really need you for that. I know I need my husband for that to you know, show me what he, that feedback that he's getting, that when something makes me happy or makes me sad, like he can tell me, no, you need to do this or not do this, because I can see how it affects you. So that would be, hopefully that makes sense. Said in my roundabout womanly way, but hopefully that makes sense.
that was powerful for us guys on here, even ladies. Again, our ladies, we need to treat them like our queen. They're royalty. We need to honor them. We need to take their hand. We need to encourage them, build them up. I mean, Lila, literally, if you're saying all that, I'm like, come on. Absolutely. Like, I'm like rising up, because I'm like, this is the anti-message of the culture. Again, women can do it by themselves. They don't need guys.
Right.
I mean, literally tonight we're having tacos, and I'm getting tacos, and my son pulls out my wife's chair. My wife's like, are you pulling my chair out? He's like, yeah. She's like, wow. And I saw that. I'm like, yes, I need to do that more. I mean, I'm totally like being inspired seeing somebody honoring a woman. So wow. Powerful. Dovid, do you want to say anything in response?
Sure. Yeah. You know, one of the best books that I recommend for men in general, if they want to understand women better, is I'm sure everybody here is, you know, between the two of you, David Deida's, you know, The Way of the Superior Man. It's just a fantastic short book on how to stand in your masculinity, which allows women to live in their femininity. And it's just such a resource, life-changing. I almost feel as a Jewish spiritual person, I almost feel like God opened up his head, poured this, you know, holy information in there, and then and sent it out to the world. I mean, it's almost no. I've never seen somebody capture the dynamic between a healthy dynamic between masculinity and femininity like he has. And I think that Lila is touching upon those points. You know, we need to have that masculine strength where we are rock solid in so many ways, and we're not flustered by her emotional ups and downs. And you know, that gives her the room to be a woman. You know, it's almost like the four walls of your home allow all the activity to go on inside. If those walls aren't strong, if the walls of your house aren't strong, there's no activity inside the house. But if you strengthen the walls of your home, then all of a sudden there's so much life that's there. And the life is crazy, right? Kids are screaming, babies are crying, women are talking, husbands are yelling at their friends. There's so much activity and beauty that goes on. But in order for that to happen, there needs to be this, and I'm just going to use a gender term, but this masculine strength that's surrounding and protecting that environment, which then gives everybody the ability to show up as who they are with all their strengths and humanity. So yeah, Lila, I think you hit it on the head.
Awesome. And then I'm just going to share real briefly this one. But what do ladies need to understand about men in 2022? Ladies, that men have a pure desire for you, and that is their sexual desire. Even though with all the pornography, all the things that people are getting involved in, your man has this God-given desire to pursue you, desire you, want you, be consumed with you, to connect with you, to become one with you. And so I want to encourage you to receive that. Receive that pure sexual desire. If you have trauma in your past, situations in your past, I encourage you to get with a counselor, work through that. But renew your mind that my husband, he wants me. This is like the closest way that he feels to me when we connect with each other one-on-one. You also need to understand that boys, guys, but when they're boys, they're always wondering. They have this image in their head about when they ask the girl at the junior high dance, is she going to say yes or no? And guys in 22, married guys, when they pursue you with that pure desire of sexuality, they're wondering, are you going to receive it? Do you want him? Do you desire him with all of his weaknesses, with all of his warts, with all of his mistakes? Are you going to receive that? And so your husband is thinking that every time that he pursues you. And it's much more complex than this, but it's a pure desire. Okay. It's a pure desire. It's a way that a man connects with his wife in a deep spiritual way. So what I want to do next here is kind of open it up to anybody listening. If you have any follow-up questions for any of us three, or if you have a comment you want to share, go ahead and request that. And Dovid, I'm going to turn it back over to you now to go ahead and call upon people.
You got the floor, HJ.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to figure out.
That's okay.
My settings. So married, 24 years, 4 children, divorced. Not going to have any more babies, but I am dating an older man who has been married and divorced twice. I mean, do any of you on here have experience with that kind of starting new relationship by chance? I hear what you're saying, and it's all really good. And I so wish that would have worked in my first marriage.
Okay, well, I think Leela is definitely somebody who's been through not exactly that situation, but certainly may have something to share.
Yeah, I had a marriage that I was going to say a bad marriage. It was a bad marriage, but it did end in divorce and a really rough custody battle. And I have 2 kids and remarried. So yeah, I can and dating is sort of my specialty, like how to find the right person. So I'm happy to answer any questions on that subject.
HJ, do you want to share a particular question?
17-year age difference. Is that your experience, Leela?
My first husband was 20 years older than me, or he still is. And my husband now is 10 years younger than me, actually. So I do have a little bit of experience with the age difference. So is there a specific question on that?
In my younger years, I think it would have been different. I'm 47. You know, we're not looking to start a family, right? We both have kind of a Brady Bunch situation, but all of our children are grown. So it's just, I think, what's the best way to connect, really connect? Can you really connect at this stage of life without
I'm sorry.
Fundamentals. Go ahead.
The fundamental meaning, yeah. Like starting a family together. Well, I mean, like I said, I have 2 kids from my first marriage, and you know, my husband does not have any children of his own. And so when I was dating, it really meant a lot to me to hear from him that he would treat my kids as his own. And, you know, he just came out with that on without me prompting or anything. It was just what he felt in his heart. And so that meant a lot to me. And I'm also kind of well known on Twitter for stirring up controversy by saying that your spouse should be number one. Not the kids. And so even in a step family, blended family situation, I still stick by that. Like, I, you know, a man needs to feel like the king of his castle. And if you guys were to get married, you know, your kids have, you know, been around with you and had all this experience, history with you and everything. And they're maybe even grown. I mean, I'm 44. So, you know, my kids are teenagers. But, you know, it can be really hard. It definitely can be really hard. But if you're going to connect with somebody who's going to be there with you at the end, you know, your kids are not. They're going to have their own families, right? The connecting with a spouse is that has to be paramount. That bond has to be number one. So, you know, if he feels like that is possible with you, then I think that would make all the difference for your potential as a couple.
Thank you very much.
Wow, that's awesome, Leela. That's some really good advice. And I can imagine that that is very challenging. To say that, you know, husband's first or wife's first in a case where there's a, you know, already an existing family. So, you know, it's a very brave. I would say that, you know, with a big age difference like that, I would try to find activities and points of pleasure that you can share that bring intimacy, you know, whatever type of intimacy that is between you two. And focus your relationship around those things. So, you know, you're not going to be doing the grind of child raising together. You know, you're not going to be having any new kids. Maybe some of the financial challenges may be different at this age. Hopefully that they're different at this age. And so, you know, oftentimes second marriages are, depending on when they are during life, they can actually be very, very enjoyable and very connecting, because a lot of the pressures of life oftentimes have been done already. And so I would look at this, HJ, as a nice opportunity for you to really get to know and love this man, you know, with and for who he is, rather than what needs to be done in the relationship or around the house or to build a home or to build a family. And I don't know if that's helpful at all, but to focus on what things that do we do that we can have, what activities can we do that we enjoy together? Maybe it's taking a walk, or maybe it's taking a trip, or maybe it's reading a book, or maybe it's, you know, back rubs or whatever it is. Maybe it's lots of sex, whatever it is that you two, you know, really can hit it off with and kind of build from there, basically. I don't know. Maybe Heath, if no one's going to ask, do you want to perhaps give some closing words?
Yeah. Just all of us need to realize, if you have children, our children are going to a marriage conference every day, and that marriage conference is us. And so if your parents didn't give you the best marriage conference to attend each day, I just want to challenge all of us. We need to make sure that we are growing, we're improving, we're walking in that patience that David talked about earlier. If you haven't read a marriage book in a while, I want to encourage you to do that. Again, if you need a counselor or coach, go find that individual. If you're around couples that complain, you know, if you're a woman, you're one of the ladies that complain about their spouse, don't allow that. If you're a guy and the other guys in your life are complaining about their spouses and doing that, don't allow that. Again, I have three teenagers, and my three teenagers, I know when it comes to their future marriage, they're going to take so many of my wife and I's habits into their marriage. I mean, we are reflecting to them what a glorious marriage looks like. We are reflecting to them what a heavenly marriage looks like. We're reflecting to them what it looks like to ask for forgiveness if a harsh word comes out, if we're short with one another. So really just be challenged with that. And it is difficult if you feel like you're the spouse that is doing the work and your spouse is not willing to do the work. If that happens, you just got to keep working. Again, have somebody that you can share your struggles with, each other. The final word is Valentine's Day is coming up here in 2 weeks. And there are so many things out there to encourage you. But I want to encourage you to be remarkable. Think about what you could do remarkably. Even you ladies, you know, hopefully your husband is going to do something remarkable for you, but what could you do something remarkable for them so that they remember 2022? They remember that was the year that my wife, wow, what she did was unbelievable. And for us guys, what are you going to do to create a remarkable 2022? I do just want to throw out, I have created a resource for Valentine's Day. It's an 8-day resource that has 49 different tips to pretty much wow your wife, to woo your wife, that your wife will be talking about this week for several months, if not several years. And you can find that resource on my Twitter timeline. It's a pinned tweet, so you can check that out. So besides that, I want to thank Dovid for all your wisdom. I want to encourage you guys, if you're not following him, make sure you're following him. He drops so many wonderful, man, just he gets into the nuts and bolts of how to work a relationship, how to be part of that relationship. I encourage you to follow him. And then with Leela, I encourage you to follow her. She is like a champion. She's a champion for marriage from the woman's mindset. She is like encouraging women not to get your own way, but to get both your ways. Instead of demanding what you want, what can you do to inspire your husband so that he wants to encourage you to get what you want. So anyways, anything else you two want to say?
Yeah, I want to thank you, Heath, for sure, you know, for hosting this and for coming up with this great idea, for sharing your enthusiasm with everybody, and for, you know, coming up with the topics and the questions, and just really, you know, blessing all of us with your great energy and your pro-marriage whole demeanor and personality. It's just fantastic. Thank you.
Great.
Yes, thank you so much, Heath, for the resources, the what you're offering leading up to Valentine's Day is such a great reminder. And I love what you said about, you know, every day being a marriage conference for your kids. And that's why, like, especially to HJ's question, you know, when we have had a failed marriage, that's why I just really encourage, I mean, even if, whether you're in the marriage, whether you are rejuvenating it, whether you're divorced, and we need to be setting the right example for our kids and achieving that legacy of good, healthy marriage. So I appreciate you doing that for us and helping us set that example.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you guys all have a great, great week, and we'll hopefully see you guys later here on Twitter. Thanks so much.